It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Ashley Webster.
I'm Kennedy.
I'm Jason Chaffetz, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, March 19th, 2024. I'm John Saucier. We know that Sam Bankman-Fried was found guilty last year of defrauding investors related to the massive downfall of his crypto exchange company FTX in 2022. What we're still waiting to learn is how he'll be punished for it. His lawyers have submitted their recommendations, but some others in the financial world say their ideas would be a slap in the face to everyone who lost money in this scheme.
I think it's very important for average Americans to see that justice is blind, especially regardless of wealth or social status.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Sam Bankman-Fried is currently waiting to find out just how long he'll be sent to prison after using customer deposits to fund his failing hedge fund and spreading that money around in ways that he saw fit. His lawyers have now submitted a 100-page sentencing memo, which basically says SBF was using the money he stole for the greater good and he had good intentions. They're asking for something around 6.5-year prison sentence. Is that even close to enough for a guy who seemed like he thought he could get away with anything?
There are two government agencies that recommended sentences.
Our guest today is Scott Bessent, CEO and founder of Key Square Capital Management, who recently wrote an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal on this topic.
The probation department recommended 100 years. The Southern District just came out and recommended 40 to 50. So they're pushing back hard on that. And look, when you have a bad argument, you spread it out over 100 pages. And most of it was rubbish. Altruistic values, or that he was going to give the money away or do good with it, allegedly, is, you know, I think his effective altruism was effective avarice, is he's nothing more than a common criminal. And it was amazing that some of the most sophisticated investors in the world fell for it, and that a jury of 12 average Americans took about 3 hours to work through a very complicated case and came back with a unanimous guilty verdict.
Really interesting strategy by his legal team here, because they're saying he was altruistic. He was spending that money in ways to better society. Did they bring up any specific examples of that?
Well, they did, but you know, it doesn't really hold water because you can't steal. You can't go to a bank and then run and put it in the church plate. And also, he wasn't that benevolent with it. He bought himself and his family huge amount of land, condos down in the Bahamas. He bought a private jet. His brother and his mother donated over $100 million in political contributions. So maybe they thought that was for the greater good, but it probably illegal.
Yeah, that private jet doesn't sound a greater good thing to me. And one of the things that stood out that you wrote about was Bankman-Fried and living more modestly, humbly. It seems like if you're buying big patches of land and you're flying around in private jets that you purchased, that doesn't seem very modest to me.
Yeah, well, it wasn't. It was, you know, he was back and forth. He was paying his father. He was paying his brother. The brother's organization bought a townhouse. The mother and father had a lot of Bahamian property in their names. So, you know, it doesn't sound very altruistic to decide, do I want a Gulfstream or a Global Express? By the way, they chose a Global Express. So, yeah, it is that Sam Bankman-Fried managed to con a lot of investors, and I don't think his lawyers are going to con the judge.
Okay, you're in the finance world, obviously you've been watching this very carefully, and like you mentioned, a lot of really smart people gave a lot of money to this guy. What is the reaction that you have, and maybe some of your peers in the finance world as well, to this conviction and to the sentence? I mean, what is the reason that you wrote this article, that you were so scrupulous and against what his lawyers had to say?
Yeah, well, I think it's very important for average Americans to see that justice is blind, especially regardless of wealth or social status. Mr. Bankman-Fried was able to be very performative and pull the wool over a lot of the investors' eyes because of his parents' social status. These two Stanford law professors, it couldn't be a fraud. He's their children. Oh, it couldn't be a fraud. He went to MIT. And I think that having pulled the wool over the investors' eyes and many of his clients' eyes, because of his elite credentials, I thought it was very important to say that the elite credentials actually don't mean he should get an easier sentence. I think it means he should get a tougher sentence because clearly he knew better.
Yeah. Do you think the judge will consider that when going into sentencing? I mean, it's really the opposite of what his lawyers were arguing in this 100-page memo.
Yeah. I hope he will. And I wanted to start a public discussion, and I wanted to do a couple of things. I wanted to start a public discussion. I hope that it would somehow influence the decision. And you know, this idea, too, that it was a victimless crime. You don't get to walk into a bank, rob a bank, and then go and put it on red in a casino. If the investors and somehow the depositors are paid back, that doesn't matter, right? You don't get to go into a casino, put it on red, on roulette, and there's a 1 in 35 chance you are going to get off. That's not the way it works. You robbed a bank. He robbed a bank. He's a common criminal. He deserves to be treated like one.
Yeah, and this bank happened to be worth billions of dollars that he was messing with, too.
I think the other thing that's important here, and we'll see it post-sentencing, is this is a 21st century crime, and I think it's going to deserve 21st century monitoring. We've never seen anything like this. You know, in the Shawshank Redemption, the guy had to go and dig up the stolen money. Here, I will say allegedly, I would believe that there's a high probability that there is Bitcoin stashed somewhere around the world. It seems not a very big stretch of the imagination to think that he has Bitcoin stashed away. And I think that he, his family, and all of his intimates should have the equivalent of a financial digital ankle bracelet on them for the rest of their lives.
We're talking high finance today with the CEO and founder of Key Square Capital Management, Scott Bessent. Ahead, Scott has some thoughts on which way the American economy is heading, who's doing well and who isn't, and how it could be a major factor in the 2024 presidential election. Stay tuned for much more coming your way next. Scott, you also wrote an article for us over on Fox News Digital about the 2024 election, the presidential election, specifically about President Biden. And can you talk about some of the things that you think might have voters swaying when it comes to the economy and how the president's handled it?
Sure. So we've seen a lot from people like Paul Krugman, my least favorite columnist and my least favorite paper, The New York Times, Alan Binder, former Fed vice chair, excoriating average Americans for not being grateful for the great economy Joe Biden has given them. And so I have political views, but I also have financial expertise. So my team and I dug into what is it that's really gnawing at the American people. And I can tell you that we were shocked by what has happened to what I call the bottom 50% of wage earners under Joe Biden. They've lost a huge amount of purchasing power. Interest rates are up. So I called it the three I's. It's inflation, interest rates, and immigration. So inflation took away purchasing power. That average American worker has lost about 4% of purchasing power to inflation. If you were to look at a basket of household goods and necessities, it's probably closer to between 7 and 9. That's causing a lot of anxiety. They've had to move into credit card debt to bridge the gap. All the stimulus money is gone. So the inflation that caused interest rates to go up, And then the third leg has been this massive unchecked immigration at the southern border. You know, for the lowest wage-earning cohort, that's put a lot of downward pressure on wages. And the Fed, even the Federal Reserve, has acknowledged that. So, you know, like, what would the lower cohort's wages have been without this immigration?
Well, speaking of the Federal Reserve, they've got their meeting coming up tomorrow. We're not expecting them to lower rates, at least in March, maybe a hope for June, but who really knows? The second half of this year for the American economy is a big one. Obviously, there's the presidential election there, but some of the factors and some of the headwinds you mentioned, credit card debt, inflation, these are problems that aren't seeming to go away. Do you have any thoughts on the outlook for the American economy in the second half of 2024?
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens this week. Jerome Powell has had a bad case of not being – he keeps wanting to declare victory on inflation, and they clearly are not victorious over inflation. Is, you know, there's this famous test called the marshmallow test. You put a marshmallow in front of a two-year-old and leave the room, and can they not eat it? And I think Jerome Powell's failed the marshmallow test several times, but most notably at the November FOMC meeting in the press conference. There was a statement that was fairly down the middle, and then he made some very dovish comments saying that he thought inflation was beaten, and it set off this Lollapalooza that we've had in the markets and financial conditions easing since then. So he's actually worked against himself there. And you know, what we have is that the top 15 or 20% of Americans are doing great. They consume 40% of the consumption in the U.S., and the bottom 50% are doing poorly. The lowest quintile of Americans are seeing credit card defaults start to skyrocket, auto defaults start to skyrocket. And I think most worryingly for Joe Biden is one of his core constituencies, the 18 to 35-year-old voters, are also seeing credit card non-performers skyrocket and auto non-performers skyrocket. And that's why he's been desperate to forgive the student loan debt.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. When you say the bottom 50%, I mean, that is a huge amount of the voting base. And it's also, in my view, a swayable amount of the voting base. These are a lot of times people who are trying to make ends meet, and they're looking at these two choices now. And though I really think the second half of this year economically is going to be a big factor in the political race here for the White House. Any final thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I think there's a very good chance that people are nostalgic for Donald Trump. That, you know, if we'd been sitting here on March 1st of 2020, he was ahead 8 or 12 points in the polls, and then COVID hit and everything around that. And, you know, we'll see what happens between now and the end of the year. But I just think this toxic, what I call the three I's, inflation, interest rates, and immigration are really going to hurt Biden.
Scott Bessin, CEO, founder of Key Square Capital Management. Thanks for being with us on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.